Okay, give it 2 seconds.
I'm in nine.
Speed.
9:28. Welcome, everyone. Adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 3, 2017, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office and in the Borough Hall. The notice was also published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. We'll have roll call.
Ms. Phillip?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Parker?
Here.
Ms. Parrott? He's absent. Ms. Sheehan?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mayor Malkin?
Here. Well, I don't have a report since I spoke at the earlier meeting, but I would like to ask if anyone minds we dispense with committee reports tonight. Sure. We just had a meeting less than a week ago where people gave their committee reports, and new committees are forming, and so, and also in the interest of the late hour, I would
make a brief request during mine. I only have a very short thing, really short.
All right, because I really don't want committee reports tonight, so if you just have a quick.
It's a quick.
Okay. All right, so let's begin. Any public portion is opening at 9:30. Does anyone have anything they'd like to say? Come to the mic. The public portion is closing at 9:30.
Yep.
Okay. Come to approval of minutes.
I have some corrections here. I will hand them to Kathleen. Okay.
Do you want to note them or not?
Yeah.
Okay.
What are the corrections?
It's just under his utility section.
Okay.
I did it very brief, so it's emergency generators at sewer plant,
right,
I guess.
Not all of them, the sewer
plant
one.
Yeah, just the sewer plant one.
Right.
And sewer generators next week, and it's being scheduled.
It's being scheduled, right. So, yeah.
Okay, so.
And there was one other, was the first, 911. We gave this stuff to 911 Fund.
Fund.
FUND.org.
Okay.
Right.
Yep.
Okay, that's it for me.
All right. So if you want to make a motion with these amendments, I need,
For the minutes.
For the minutes.
Yeah. Does anyone move to approve the minutes?
I move to approve the minutes as amended.
Of December 27, 2017.
That's correct. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll second.
Does that need a roll call?
Mm-hmm. Well, you could do all in favor, correct?
Yeah. The minutes?
Yeah,
that's
it. For minutes,
okay.
You can do it. You don't need a roll call for me.
Yeah.
If someone did not attend the meeting, they should abstain.
1227, two people did not. So.
So you say in favor, opposed, any abstentions?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I abstain.
You were here?
I have an abstain. No, she wasn't here.
So I say aye.
Deidre was not here.
So I approve of the minutes.
I approve.
Okay.
Well, could.
I'll do a roll call.
Yeah. Oh, please. I'll make it easy.
Probably good at this hour.
Okay. Ms. Phillips.
Abstain.
Mr. Hamilton.
Yes.
Mr. Parker.
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan.
Yes.
No, you were not at the meeting.
Trammell.
Oh,
right. Okay. Mr. Trammell.
Yes, as amended.
Okay, so they did pass.
So that's it. So
remains.
Okay. Correspondence, we have none. Mm-hmm. Resolutions, we have none. Mm-hmm. Ordinances.
I'd like to offer Ordinance 1801, introduction and first reading. This is an ordinance setting the salary range and compensation of certain officials, positions, and employees in the Borough of Roosevelt, County of Monmouth, State of New Jersey.
I'll second that.
Discussion? Roll call?
Could I just go over again? Mr. Hamilton was first motion,
yep.
And Mr. Trammell was second?
That's correct.
Okay. Ms. Phillip?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay. So you just have to let them know there's a public hearing.
Okay. There'll be a public hearing held on January 22nd, 2018 at 7 p.m. in the Borough Hall. Which I think we all know where that is, 33 North Rochdale.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so what it does is this is the first reading, then there's a public hearing if anyone has any, mm-hmm. wants to bring it up, and then it will be adopted at okay. that.
Maybe adopted.
Maybe adopted, yeah.
Okay, we're going to dispense with committee reports tonight, but Robin, you have something you'd like to...
Yeah, because we now, we had Ira as our borough attorney, and now in the new year moving to Greg, Ira was in the middle of a review of materials for a land swap, so I just know if we should talk about it after the meeting, or how that should...
Well, Mr. Cannon and I will have to meet and actually catch him up on a number of issues, because he's pretty much unfamiliar with anything going on here. So that was definitely going to be one of the issues that I brought up, you know, that we need to discuss. And then once I give him an overview of everything, he can contact the various committees as he needs to.
And before we leave here tonight, I'm currently putting together an email to email you the memo we talked about, mm-hmm. and to provide you all with my direct contact information and everything. So,
great.
But don't leave tonight without walking over here and telling me your email address. If you know something going on, like I said, the clerk and I are the gathering point.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have something of concern, just email me.
Mm-hmm.
It'll end up someplace where we discuss it. The clerk and I will determine whether it's
yeah.
executive or regular,
mm-hmm.
and we'll go through everything.
Okay, thank
it's
you.
It's pretty much, you know,
it's
the mayor will bring me up to speed, but
yep.
you know that shouldn't preclude everybody else from just telling me
gotcha.
What you think.
I'd like to state for the public record how pleased I am that communications is going to be straightforward and among all council members from anything that comes from the borough attorney will go right on down the line to everybody. There's not going to be any trick circuits there or little
No, but like I said, don't tell me any secrets because everybody's going to know.
Right. That's the downside of it. But I think it'll be really great to have all information shared equally among everybody.
Yes.
That's a big improvement.
I don't know what the practice was here earlier.
That was not the practice.
You know, it's if you guys don't all have the same information, then you can't intelligently come here and make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's always the way that I've worked. It also has the added benefit of keeping me out of trouble with someone who doesn't know anything. So that's the way that Cook and I are going to roll for the year. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, there'll be adjustments, but we'll figure it out.
Great.
Everyone will know
everything. Beauty.
Can
nice.
I just ask?
Yeah.
So they can't respond all.
Correct.
So could you
yeah, let's go over that.
Over
let's
that?
Go over ground rules for that. So the Open Public Meetings Act prohibits a quorum of the governing body from meeting to discuss public business. So that doesn't stop you all going to the local holiday show or the local school district or a baseball game or a state playoff
or
baseball
a
game.
Here,
or
we
a
all
party
know each
here.
Other, right.
The point is that when you go to those events, talk about each other's kids, you can talk about anything. And the fact that you're all, more a quorum of you is in one place at the same time is not violative of the act. That's the most common misconception.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you go to a party and then the seven of you are in the corner talking about what you're going to do with the sewer plant while everyone else is here. You have to avoid those situations. So
mm-hmm.
in the most common context, I usually suggest to governing bodies that if you go to a public event, don't all sit in the same row, unless it's a dignitary event where you all are reserved seats. You know, sit around the room and try to avoid circumstances where the appearance of impropriety could be there. So that's number one. Number two, that Open Public Meetings Act not only applies to physical meetings of you guys, it applies to meetings by electronic means. So I will most often blind copy you. So if I send a letter to someone outside the borough, I will blind copy all of you so you cannot respond to the email with everyone involved.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes that's impossible. Right, if I'm sending it out to everyone, you have to want to know that everyone's there. So if you see an email, and I always put it at the top of mine, and I'm sure this is your practice as well, it'll say, Mayor and Council, please do not reply to all. Because
mm-hmm.
there's nothing improper about you, even you guys, emailing everyone and providing people with information to be discussed in an upcoming meeting. It's when someone replies,
mm-hmm.
and then someone replies, and you start a rolling discussion, that it violates that
mm-hmm.
The Open Public Meetings Act. So again, when I send stuff to you, it'll always say, please do not reply to all from me. But when you do it, people, if you're not blind copying, make sure you put please do not reply to all to alert people that there's multiple people on the chain. It's the second email that's violative of the act, not the dissemination of information, which is the first.
Right. Okay. Okay. Cool.
Great.
So we can email blast everybody on the council and say, do not reply all.
Correct. The best practice is please do not reply to all in the first line if you have copied everyone on there. If you're copying your committee, of course, a committee discussion is not a quorum. It can be a rolling discussion. That's the purpose. That's why you work in the committees, because it gives you a rolling basis to not have to sit in the same room together.
These are good things for us to know.
Yeah, no, it's important.
We've had questions about stuff.
Yeah, and over time we'll get it going. The clerk and I have had a long discussion about this already, about setting up a rubric in which everyone gets the information, we stay in compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act, but that everyone walks in here at least with the same base of knowledge, so that when we do have a discussion, everyone can argue on an equal footing. If someone knows something that someone else doesn't know, then good luck arguing, you know. Good luck. You handed me a file and asked me to go against the worst lawyer in New Jersey, I'd lose. You know, 5 minutes before. So that's the practice that we'll follow. What's that?
I said, who is that worst lawyer?
I have a couple ideas, but I'll keep it to myself.
Okay, thank you.
And just, you know, clarification for mm-hmm. all of us. Mm-hmm. Discussions with residents.
Concerning personnel.
Personnel matters. I mean, what they're... Should they just keep it amongst themselves?
I mean, the way I anticipate...
Except if it's a committee meeting?
So I noticed on a lot of your agendas you don't have an executive session very often.
Right. Not at all.
So, I mean, look, it's your policy and practice, but generally the rule I'd say to everybody in another town is if we talk about an executive session, you can't talk about it with the public until the clerk or I tell you it's okay. I anticipate we'll probably have more executive sessions. Like, for example, the land swap issue. That's a contractual issue. So that's, and if it's negotiations, we're not going to talk about that in public because the person we're negotiating with can hear what we're saying, and good luck, you know, having a non-leverageable negotiation. So I think we're probably going to have some more executive sessions to talk about these items, and that will be a balancing act because I know that you guys just did the committee appointments in front of the public, so clearly you guys are you guys are more transparent than most governing bodies. So we're going to keep executive session to just the things that we have to. If personnel is something that has to be in executive session, and you can't talk about people's jobs, how they're doing, what they're doing,
right.
you know, and what you intend to do to them, what you intend to pay them. You can't talk about that in public, in here or out there.
And how about putting in emails to residents?
A personnel information?
Yes.
No. I don't know if that's been done here before. You can't do that.
Yes.
You can't talk about people's jobs.
An executive session, does it have to be advertised accordingly at the press?
Yes. So what happens is there's a resolution passed that indicates the items that we will discuss in executive session, not necessarily their substance, but what generally we're talking about. So let's say it was I'm just using the land swap issue because that's the issue du jour, right? Land swap land swap issue, contractual. Put the block and lot or the property or the address.
So when Kathleen puts that out, she has to include that information as we're going
to
meet
an
executive
session.
There will be a resolution and go out.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. And then so do you guys vote on that? You can amend it to include other items at the council meeting that might come up between the agenda issuance and the resolution. We will vote on that. Okay. The public will know what we're talking about. We will advise the public as to whether or not we expect to take action when we come back out of the executive session so that they know whether to hang out here or not. And if we promise them that we won't, then we will not take action because you can't obviously lead people astray. You pass the resolution. We read it aloud to the public as to the reasons and the time of which we expect to be in closed session. And we talk about those items. And then we take minutes of those. The clerk will take minutes. But those will not be – so, for example, the minutes of these meetings are operable, right?
Right.
Walk into town hall and ask for them. You will not be – the executive minutes, if you ask for them, will be redacted on anything that's pending. So there's a pending litigation that hasn't been resolved and is still ongoing, and we discussed strategy in the executive session.
Mm-hmm.
That will be redacted from anyone who requests it until the litigation is over, settlement's reached, adjudication, and then that'll be available to the public when the quote need for confidentiality no longer exists.
Okay.
That's what that's what OPRA says. The Open Public Records Act. I should be clear about what I'm talking about.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So yeah, I think I'm looking forward to it. I think we're gonna get this going. We're gonna have a good procedure, and we're gonna roll.
Put the train back on the tracks and start.
Yeah, I mean the most important part
there.
Is you guys are governing, but if the communication isn't effective both inside and outside of this room, we waste most of our time talking about stuff that ends up being unimportant to what people really want out there. So if we can streamline that behind, so we all walk in here with the same information, then we can really get down to the nuts and bolts of, you know,
governing.
Do we need to replace the street signs in our town? Potholes, all the stuff that we're here really to do, rather than the, you know, we set that process to take care of itself behind the scenes. I think it'll be more enjoyable, at least all I read in your minutes previously for the last couple of years.
Okay. So we're.
I only went back two. I have to forgive you.
Well, I'd like to let everyone know that 2017 is complete on the minutes.
Great job, Madam Clerk.
Yeah,
first
nice
time in many, all the years that I've been on here, which is 14, that's the first time.
Now Lori will be listening to a lot of tapes.
Enjoy.
Bless you, Lori.
Lori, yeah.
Mike will make you coffee.
You'll need it.
Okay, we have no reports of borough officials tonight. So we go to old business, which is Resolution 17-134.
I'd like to offer 17-134, authorizing transfer of appropriations for 2017 number 2 and requiring 4 council votes.
I'd like to second that.
Any discussion or we're ready? Ms. Phillips?
Let's do it.
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Passes.
Yeah, all right.
Passes.
Not that this whole meeting wasn't new business, but is there any new business at the table? Okay. Being none, we come to public comment, 9:45 p.m. Mm-hmm. Would anyone like to say anything from the public? Bob? Name and address.
Can I give these out?
Name and address.
Bob Cragen, 7th School Lane.
And you are
Bob Cragen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. This Thursday, November 7th.
What is this?
It looks like the flyer that went out in November.
What's your address?
7th School Lane.
No. Governing Roosevelt. This was very carefully thought out by many people who are here tonight, including some who aren't here tonight, including Maureen Parrott, who worked very hard and very long hours and very diligently and I would say brilliantly to get everybody elected and bring us to where we are tonight. And I'm very sad to say that there are those in town who feel that we've been less than, what would I call it, fully following the guidelines that you were elected on, that we all agreed on as being the principles that would guide us in terms of how we govern, what we're trying to change in Roosevelt, what we're trying to make better, what we're trying to improve, what we're trying to bring out as the best of the citizens of Roosevelt and involve everyone in governance, trying to make it better for everyone. I think that was the phrase that was used by the Democratic Committee, Mike and Peggy, when they ran for Democratic Committee, and make Roosevelt better. And that's what everybody's trying to do. I'm afraid that in the, what do I call it, the push and pull of political power that sometimes political expediency is not for the best interest of the long term or the individuals involved if you really look at everything fully. If, in fact, as happened to council sessions ago, Maureen Parrott wanted to ask respectfully of the council for 2 weeks delay in the, I guess, investigation of the bids from Modern Group to repair the generator, and then was outvoted on that because she was basically, I think the phrase is beaten up in terms of the arguments against her. I would use this as a point of not a point of order, but a point of importance to bring out how important it is in the future to allow public members of the community to talk about the issues before they're voted on in the council, not just in the beginning of the meeting and not just at the end of the meeting. I think Bob Clark actually spoke to this previously. And if you can do that, then there's a chance that things would not be taken out of, what's the word for it? Sensibility is the word I have to use, or common sense, and the people would get overpowered by political gravitas. Joe's a lot of political gravitas. Mike has a lot of political gravitas. When they speak, people listen, and they're heard, whatever it is they're saying. In this case, the facts on the ground, the facts on the table, the face of the matter, I think it's called, were so well defined that I think that both myself, I think Bob Clark shares the opinion, I'd let him speak for himself, he's here. Marina, I think, would have a lot to say about this also if she was allowed to speak. But the facts on the ground were that it was really important to wait 2 weeks because there wasn't actually a reason why the generator would fail, particularly if a two-week delay wasn't endured. The generators have maybe 5,000 moving parts in them. They're old, like a car. Any one of those parts can fail at any time. The maintenance that we were scheduling was just a routine maintenance, and it doesn't guarantee that the generators are going to work after that maintenance. But to spend $7,000 or $8,000, which is what you guys approved, over Marine's protest and over Marine's begging for a delay of 2 weeks, to approve that when the actual repairs, on the face of it, arm's length, looking at it from someone as a member of the general public, should not have cost more than $1,000 or $2,000, and especially in light of the fact that Marine went and made the extra effort to research the state-approved, purveyors of these services, repair services, and she brought to the council the fact that there were actually people who would, in her estimation, come in several thousand dollars under. I think the difference was $100 an hour or less for the alternatives versus the $135 an hour for Modern. And no, that's a third savings, 33%. It's a huge amount. It's of 33% of 8,000 is how much? A couple thousand dollars. So the question is, it's water over the dam. It's been approved. It's done. It's finished. But put yourself now in Marine's shoes and think how she must feel having brought to the council what she thought was a righteous, and I think was a righteous personally, issue for you to consider. If she can't believe that in the future she can bring things to the council and get what I would call an honest hearing to be able to have her points of view and her ideas considered by the council, and then I would add for myself to allow people from the public, sort of sad the first meeting of the year, so few people, but hey, you can do what you can with what we got. The point is that there should be some way for the public to chop on what the council discusses before the council votes. Otherwise, you have, as I mentioned before, people with gravitas rhetoric able to convince the council to make decisions that they would not possibly make if they had a chance to hear from other people. So I would beg you, please, think about what Bob Clark was asking at two council sessions ago, I think, when he spoke up about the idea of letting the public, and this can be totally controlled by the mayor in terms of time and direction, et cetera, But there should be at least a chance for the public to react to what is said by council before it is a vote. Otherwise, the public discussion at the beginning and the end of the sessions of the council meetings don't really apply to what's actually being discussed. They don't really have any chance to effectively join in the process of deliberation. And this is really important, I think, if you want to be fair and if you want to live up to the priorities that are listed here in the campaign bulletin. I know I'm talking a lot, but I appreciate you're listening to me very much, but I really feel very strongly about this. It would be a damn shame to lose Maureen as a council member because she doesn't feel that she would, in the future, be able to have the support of council or the public for the things that she wants to put forward. And I think, honestly speaking, that she's very, very close to quitting if she hasn't decided that already. And that would be a shame. If you can offer a chair of finance, that's certainly a important position, as Peggy well knows, and it's very well respected in the council, and it's a very important place for her to be and to serve the council and to help. She also has the energy and the capacity both and the legal expertise to be able to look at things and figure out what's in the borough's interest and what she can recommend to save money. All she was trying to do with the modern thing was to save money. And that's the God's honest truth, and I believe that 100%. As far as Joe goes and the water, God help you, Joe. Better you than me. and I'd say that also in terms of serving on the council. It's not an easy position. You're all volunteers, and you're all doing it out of the goodness of your heart. And thank you for your service, I think, is the bad phrase. But it's also from my heart saying, sincerely, you guys are doing good. We've got a tremendous change, an opportunity to bring Roosevelt around and to really improve Roosevelt and how it's governed and the openness and transparency and fairness of the governance compared to other times. As far as the water goes, there's considerable difference. I've got two or three different causes to the cause of the high pH incidents. The specifics of them are a bit technical. The bottom line is that one of the items includes the height of the pipes, and that was changed. But the height of the pipe might have been Toby's Moore's fault. I know you can't talk about it because it's in play. I can talk about it as a person of the public. And this needs to be looked at by someone who's an expert, not the EPA or the NJDEP, because they have their agendas. They have their, way of doing things. They're concerned with the observation of the law. They want to make sure that their laws or their rules have not been violated. As long as their rules are not violated, you can have someone act pretty much in any way they want to. My bottom line about Toby Moore is that I think at one point he was very technically competent, and I think he's getting older. And I think as he gets older, he's becoming less able to handle the duties and tasks of his office, being in charge of the water sewer. And I think that we have to, at some point, face that. And I'm trying to get NJDEP to chime in on that, and maybe they will help us figure out some future to the situation regarding the continuance of Toby Moore as our licensed operator. As far as the necessary repairs to the water sewer system made in a timely, cost-effective manner, ties in again to Joe's heroic task of trying to manage this thing, taking care of the safety issues first. And I completely agree with Joe that that's the first thing you have to look at: what could hurt the personnel working in the system, what could hurt the public. I would like to mention that I think that they have this automatic systems online now recording the pH every day. It's not alarming, but it's recording.
It is hooked up, but it is not online, and it is not operating until it goes online.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Okay. My sense is that at some point when it is online, it'll have a screen that could be put on a webcam, and that webcam could be public for everybody in the community to be able to see anytime they have a question about the water, strange taste or strange feeling about the water. They could look online and see.
I don't know that a camera could be put on it and put it on the website. I'll look into that.
I'm suggesting.
I'll look into that.
Thank you. And then in terms of the future, again, my heartfelt sympathy goes out to Joe trying to basically get his head around the complexities of the water sewer system, because it's a beast. And it's a beast that has a lot of downside to it. Getting anywhere near it is a real problem, and also for the members of the council.
The
bottom line of it is that, and this is my bottom line regarding the water sewer, is that we need to have some expert help brought on board. Carmela Roberts is an expert civil engineer. She's bringing somebody on her staff who's an expert on water sewer. Great. I like Carmela very much. I think she's really a good person. I would echo what Robin said, that maybe we need to have some arm's length bidding or arm's length RFQs, RFPs put out on the street and see what comes back in terms of what people will come back to us with no cost to us.
Bob, can we move on from water?
Okay, sure. Everything else is pretty much self-explanatory here. And, the bottom line is thank you folks for your service. I'm sorry to talk so long, but I really feel very seriously that unless anyone who wants to keep Maureen on the council calls Maureen tonight and talks to her, she's liable not to be on the council. And that should be done either tonight or tomorrow morning first thing. That's my heartfelt request to you if you want to preserve Maureen as a council member, regardless of what you feel about her manner or her approach to things. I think that an outreach is really called for, because otherwise you're going to lose her. And it would be a shame.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public? Okay, public session is adjourned at 10:01. Do I have a motion to adjourn? Aren't we up to that?
Yes.
Motion to adjourn the meeting?
Motion to adjourn.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned. The next meeting, just to remind everyone, will be January 22nd.
Not next week?
Not next week, and not the week after.
Cool.
No.
Okay,
we have a little break.
Okay, so time out, 10 o'clock. 10:01.
Yeah.
Okay. Jump in. Okay. Save that.